Romance Me Up for October 21st, 2020 is presented by LevelDownGames.com.
Hello, all my hopelessly romantic friends. If you're new here, my name is Jessica, and I am with Level Down Games. On this podcast, I like to open up a bottle of wine and chit-chat with you about new, old, or current visual novels. If you're new here, hello and welcome back. Now, before I open up this bottle of wine that I have here, which is... I picked this one more for like a Halloween feel. It's called Atomic Inferno, and it's an aged in whiskey barrels for 60-day wine. It's a red wine. I like Fireball and anything like... cinnamon flavored alcohol, so hopefully it's good. But before we get on into that, if you haven't done so already, please, if you can give us a 5-star rating and review so we can continue to climb the charts in terms of search results, that way we can kind of get ourselves out there, hopefully get more people to listen, which would always be great. Now that that's out of the way, we're gonna go ahead and pop open this bottle of wine, and we're gonna go ahead and get romanced.
Rick is, how do I open this? Let's see.
All right, guys. So I went ahead and opened up the bottle of wine, and we're going to go ahead and try it and see what it tastes like. It smells like normal red wine. So, okay, let's see. No. Not my favorite. It kind of... It's definitely a red wine taste. So if you like red wine... I think you'll love it. I guess I was expecting more of like a cinnamony, like whiskier taste to it. And obviously it's a wine, so I don't know why I thought that. But I mean, it's cool. It was at Sam's Club for $13.99 or something like that. So if you guys want to try it, I mean, I do recommend it. Again, if you do enjoy your red wines, a little bit more on the drier side. I'm more of a white wine on the sweet side, so I know. Anyways, guys, we're going to go ahead and get started. Now, before I do, my allergies have been really bad. So if you hear me kind of struggling or like you can like really hear my breathing, I do want to just apologize ahead of time because allergies, they're great. All right. So as I mentioned last time, if you guys were here, I kind of dove deep, or not necessarily as deep as I guess I wanted to. When I listened back, you know, you're always your own worst critic. And when I heard what I was kind of producing, I was like, all right, I like where this is going, but I feel like I want to do more and kind of like, I guess now just talk to you guys naturally about their story. So I think the way I'm going to go ahead and take this show, and I would love to hear your guys' input, because if you don't agree to this, obviously I'll change it. You know, I'm here to kind of try this out with you guys and see where we go. But I think what I want to do is kind of deep dive deeper into the main part of their story. So that way you can get to know them. You can get to know their personalities. You can get to know what happens during it. So it is going to be very spoiler heavy. And I'm going to tell you that now. So this is your warning. If you do plan on playing it and hate spoilers, I mean, honestly, this is like the first chapter of the game. So... It's really not going to spoil much, because clearly you know how it's going to end. But if you don't want too many details, then I'm sorry to say, but this just might not be the show for you. But if you're okay with it, or if you just like getting an idea, or just don't have time to play it and just want to hear like the gist of what happens, I'm here for you, because life's crazy, life's busy, and sometimes we just have to make do with what we have. Okay, so last time when we did the episode, we were talking about Seke, the sexy playboy writer, the one who needs you to marry him so that way he can write about like a romantic sitcom. We also talked about Takeo. He is the handsome, shy, big brother who just loves his family. He's a lawyer, so he's a workaholic. Not my favorite, but I mean, it, again, there's something out there for everybody, and that's why I love visual novels. And then we also kind of spoke about Ren. I was going to talk to him a lot about the next episode, which is this one, but I'm kind of going to not, just because, again, the way I want to do this, I want to dive deeper into the other guys Plus, that way, if you do want to play the game, I mean, you have an idea for him, but maybe then that way it leaves something new for you guys. But, you know, if you want to hear him, obviously, I will obviously include him in the next one or just do an extra one for him. So let me know. And, you know, I would hate to leave him out if you guys want to hear him. So anyways, we're going to go ahead and first talk about Yuta. So Yuta's probably look-wise the one that I'm not as attracted to. He's more for, like, people who like the younger-looking guys. I can't think of the word right now, but I know there's a word for it. just, it's not personally my thing. I love when my men are very, like, manly, rugged, kind of looking. And so it took me a second. His personality-wise, I really did like. I thought he was, like, a big sweetheart. The way that this one kicks off is very different from the other ones. So typically you would pick the guy and then instantly, like, all of you guys in the shop would be like, oh, okay. And then you would instantly move in with him. That wasn't the case with this. It actually kind of threw me off. I had to exit out of it and exit back in to make sure I didn't hit anything wrong. As you're playing with Yuta, so he's a comedian. He was a part of a group, or he still is technically part of the group called, is it Fukumini? Fukumini? It's him with his friend. And they're both comedians. And the way that it starts out was you pick him, but you're not actually, like, instantly moving in with him just yet. He's a starting out comedian. He wants to be famous. He wants to really go out there. But his friend gets sick, the one who does the partnering with him. And his name is Yu, like Y-U-U. So it's very simple. It's Yu and Yuta. But he gets sick, so he has to kind of take the show on the back burner. And this really hurts both of them, because now at this point, they're not able to put their names out there. They're not able to do their shows. And so at this point, Yuta's like, okay, I want to be famous. So, you know, at this point, he's kind of looking to his management, like, what should I do now? You know, they offered him this show where they wanted him to have, like, an evil wife, or, like, a mean wife who's just, like, mean to him. I mean, I don't really know why this is a thing, but I mean, okay. Like, I guess people want to watch a show with a woman treating their husband horribly. That's like a sweetheart. I mean, okay. So at this point, you know, you're not actually going to be in the show with him. He goes to Long Island, which is their uncle's bar. And, you know, he's a little upset with everything that's going on. He doesn't necessarily want to do the show, but yeah, he's going to do the show because he wants to be famous. And he wants to, when his partner gets better, he wants his partner pretty much come out and be like, wow, we're famous, which is great. I wish, you know, more partners did that. But to get back to the story. So you guys start celebrating. Everybody who's at Long Island, which is everyone, you know, they're all getting tired. So you're like, well, let's finish up the show. Or not the show. Let's finish up the drinking. So you go out, you go drinking. And this is when things get wild. So when you're done drinking, things are going good. You're interacting. You're talking. And then as you're, like, walking out of the bar to go back, I believe, to your uncle's house, you trip and he catches you. And because he's an upcoming star, someone takes a picture of it and they're threatening to post it because it could ruin his career, essentially, because since he's an upcoming star, for some reason, and I've noticed this a lot in, like, at least in the Asian culture, and it could be wrong, but they don't like when people are dating. Like, it's horrible, especially in, like, the K-pop industry and stuff. Like, the fact that you can't date is ridiculous to me, but whatever. So at this point, his management is pretty upset with you and also with Yuta. They're like, what were you thinking? Like, how are we going to fix this? They're going to think that your guys are together and we can't have that, you know? How dare you help this defenseless woman from falling? Like, what? I don't really understand it, but I mean, I guess that's just their way of telling the story to get it to progress. So at this point, you're both in trouble. You go back to Long Island. You know, his sister ends up popping up and she's like, hey, by the way, she's beautiful. His sister pops up and she's like, hey, how about, like, you be the evil wife? So that way, you know, it could still be you that he caught, but, like, you're already his wife, so people can't get mad because you're on the show. Again, What? I don't really understand it. Okay, I guess we're gonna have to take a drink break because I don't. What? I just, okay. So you're like, okay, I mean, sure, if it's gonna help him, you know, I need to get a job eventually, so why not? So you agree to essentially be the evil wife in the show. And he agrees to it too. You pull it up to management. Management's like, eh, why not? You're already, you know, you already got a picture taken together. So sure, be his evil wife. What? I don't. Again, I this storyline was just interesting to me. So anyways. So at this point, I mean, now back to the story. I mean, here we go. Like, you guys are going over the strips. It's been a few days. So you begin to, like, learn your lines, and it's officially your first day of filming. So you moved in with him. You got to know, like, his apartment. You started going over some lines. You get to learn that he loves, like, toys, and he loves, like, reading different scripts and kind of is more of his personality at this point. So you begin filming, and one thing that you were cautious about and that you requested was that they don't show your face, which I honestly think was a good idea in the sense of the writing of it. So you're like, don't show my face. I don't want to be out there or whatnot. And they're like, yes, we agree, especially because she's not like an actress or anything. So like a good example of how they wanted her to be like this mean, evil wife was he comes back and she makes Omni rice. And I guess there's two different serving sizes, and he gives or she gives him the smaller serving and she takes the bigger one. And his character is like, wait, but I like Omni rice. So why did you take the bigger portion if I like it more? And I'm, you know, and she's like, well, how much money did you make? Again, what? Okay. So she's like, how much money did you make? And he tells her, and then she's like, okay, well, I made more, so I get more food. Why? Okay. Why would people want to watch a show like this? Makes no sense to me. I mean, I guess that's like World or Terrace House. Or I don't know. But I mean, how sad. So for some reason, again, this abusive show of this wife just abusing this famous guy. I guess it's making him more popular. But I mean, at this point, the show's going really good. And the storyline is weird. Okay, so a month goes by and you're still working at your uncle's shop. So you're still working at a Long Island, and your dad comes in, and it's been about a month. So your dad comes in, he just wants to visit, see how things are. And, you know, all of the guys are there except for Yuta and whatnot. But all the guys are there and they're watching the Evil Wife show. And your dad's there also at Long Island. You guys are just chit chatting and your friends are going crazy about what's going on the TV. And, you know, your dad's like, have you seen that Evil Wife show? Like, I can't believe it. And he keeps expressing to her, like, you need to make sure that you find a job. You know, you need to get a job out there and, you know, find a job. Which, what? Okay. Why wouldn't she just tell her dad? Because at this point, she's feeling like so ashamed and disgusted and sad with herself. Because she's like, I'm the evil wife, but I can't tell my dad because he's going to think, you know, he's going to be like ashamed of me and all of this stuff. I mean, you could just say, hey, dad, I'm the evil wife, but I requested that they don't show my face, you know, so that way I'm not putting myself out there in a negative way. But, you know, I am enjoying myself and this is my job at this point. Because it's a job, you're just an actress. I don't know why you would feel a sense of shame or dread because, like, your dad is telling you to get a job when you essentially have a job. Okay. So, of course, all of a sudden, the manager shows up and comes over and offers you guys for the show to go promo. So, like, overseas and all that, which is definitely going to be a big break for Yuta. And, of course, you know that this will continue to make, like, your father feel ashamed if you continue. But, I mean, Yuta is, like, a man of honor and honesty. And, like, he's such a sweetheart. So, he turns it down because he sees it in your face and your eyes and just your expression that you... Like, yes, you want to help him, but at the same sense, like, he understands that what you're doing is hurting, like, your family in a sense because they feel ashamed that you think that they'd feel ashamed in what you're doing. So he's a sweetheart. He's like, you know what? No, like, we're not going to do it. This is done. And, you know, you obviously want to support him. So you being a sweetheart, you're like, no, like, I'm going to support you. Let's do this. Like, I want to help you in any way that I can, which, I mean, at this point is technically not false. So as you continue playing like the mean wife of Yuta, you know, you get used to each other like day by day, your habits, your interest, your different meals that you enjoy, you know, you start to, of course, like start to fall in love with each other. You know, he opens up to you about why he wants to do Fukumini, and he, you know, he even invited you to go see his partner, who's his you, who's very sick. And, you know, he's like, hey, just so you know, he needs to, like, you need to pretend like we're still married, because if he finds out how we are now becoming way more popular, he's not going to approve it. And he could possibly, like, not want to do this anymore. Which, if you're going to do something that your partner, like, if you already know your partner's not going to like, you probably shouldn't do it in the first place. But that's just me. So, of course, the whole point of doing the evil wife bit was to get Fukumini more popular, more famous, more out there, you know, and you convince you to continue to show, because when you do visit, he is like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. I don't want to, like, be famous. I don't care about that life. But, I mean, Yuta has literally just been trying everything that he could to be famous. You know, you put your, like, everything on the line to try to get you guys to get famous. So you both convince him, not necessarily by telling him the truth, but just by saying, you guys worked so hard for this, like, you guys can make this work, why not try it? So he decides to stay on. So because he decides to stay on and everything's going to kind of continue as it is, you're obviously super excited at this point, because at this point in the game, you're realizing your feelings for him, you're starting to really fall for him, and you're really hoping that he's feeling the same way towards you. So now you get to spend even more time with him. This time is different, though. You're spending a lot of time apart because, you know, at this point, because Fukunumi is basing a lot of their, like, routines and their skits and their jokes around the evil wife bit, they're becoming really popular and a lot more people are starting to recognize them and request them. So they're doing a lot more shows. You're starting to really, really miss him. Even though you're missing him, though, you continue to stay understanding and supportive and just, I mean, honestly, just being like a really good friend and partner. And I feel like everyone should be this way when it comes to their partners. But you make him dinner. You try to stay up late most nights for him, so that way you can try to eat dinner with him at least. And finally, a few nights pass and you finally get to spend some time with Yuta. You talk about some exciting news about each other. And after this pretty much confirms that you're head over heels for this guy. I mean, you get invited to the studio and you're like, I believe this is his dressing room. And after a beautiful actress is in there, I mean, she's pretty much like professing her love to him. So like there's this extremely popular actress. And after he invites you to the show, you know, you're going up to his room because he's like, hey, can you make me a snack? Which, I mean, why would you ask that? But whatever. So as you get there, you're about to open the door. You see this beautiful actress and she's like, oh, my gosh, like, I love you. I love your guys' skits so much. I love to do something together. I'm such a big fan of yours. And of course, this is flattering because she's this like A plus, like this A-listing star. And, you know, so she's like, here's these cookies from these fancy restaurant. And she leaves. So you go in and of course you're feeling a little jealous and self-conscious because you wouldn't after like walking in a beautiful actress trying to get with the man that you're in love with when you're like a nobody. So I understand. And like you get very like flustered. So after you give him the cookies and he's super excited with his snack that he got, you guys kind of joke around about like how you're not actually married and like how even though you make him cookies, like you act like a wife, but you're not actually a wife. And, you know, it's joking and whatnot. You think you're safe. But come to find out, lo and behold, what do you think happened? What do you think happened? Fukumini was there and he heard everything. He heard about how you like, so I mean at this point he's like, so we got popular because you guys lied about your relationship? Really, guys? Really? I mean, who wouldn't be upset about that? So even after finding out this news, and he's not happy about it at all, I mean, again, who would be happy about this? he's like, you know what? Let's go put on our show. We need to be professional. So they go out, they do their show. You wait in the waiting room. When they come back in, everyone's happy and giggles. They close the door. And that's when shit gets crazy. So at this point, he's pissed. I mean, he's like, I am done with you guys. I'm done with the show. How dare you guys do this? Like, I'm absolutely disgusted with you guys. I can't believe you would, you know, put our name out there in such a negative light by lying about who you guys are. I mean, he's honestly upset. And especially, I mean, he tried to quit. So you guys have to remember that. Like, he tried to quit and do, like, not do this anymore. And yet, because of their selfish actions in the sense of, like, they wanted to be famous and then all this stuff. I mean, I know that their intentions were good, but you guys know what I mean. It's a very whatever you think is the right thing, but he's not happy. So after some long discussions, you guys finally come up with an agreement that he'll continue to do Fukumini, but you have to, like, stop the fake marriage. You have to stop the fake marriage. You have to rewrite all of the jokes so that way it's not involving the fake marriage. Honestly, it seems pretty reasonable to me. And so, of course, Yuta and yourself agree. And that's when you two finally have to do, like, your last night together. So because it's your last night together, you decide to make a really good dinner. You make some Salisbury steak, some pasta with, you know, it's a good yet somber dinner because you don't really want it to end. You think maybe he does, but, I mean, we all know he doesn't want it to end. So it's a very somber time right now. You guys were finally able to talk because he was able to come home a little bit earlier. And then when it was time for bed, he pretty much just fell asleep instantly. You know, so because it's your last night, you're fighting with yourself. You're like, okay, like, he fell asleep. I really love him. Like, I don't want to leave, but I have to leave. So you know what you do? You kiss his eyelids because nothing says I love you like kissing someone's eyelids when they're sleeping. I don't know. I'm like, you couldn't have, like, just kissed his lips, wrote him a note, told him while he was awake. I don't know. Again, would it really be a good story if you weren't kissing their eyelids? I don't know. So at this point, the last day comes and it's time for you to leave his apartment. And even though you don't want to go back to your, you know, to work with your uncle, Yuta promises that he's going to come see you when his schedule isn't so busy. And so you're pretty much just like, okay, cool. You wait for him and you wait for his promise, but sadly, he never shows up. He's very busy at this point. He's extremely popular. Their new jokes, even with not including the evil wife, are really popular because at this point, people are already their fans. So all the other friends come and visit the bar on a day-to-day basis and just kind of catch up with everyone. And everyone always expresses how they miss Yuta and how they're watching him on TV all the time. And one day you guys all learn that he's winning a comedic award. So you all decide to give him a call and wish him luck. And you pass around the phone, giving him words of encouragement. And you're last and you're just like, hey, you know, I think it's something like good luck or like I believe in you or something like that. And later on that night, he calls you when you're sleeping and he's just like, hey, you know, I would really like you to come to the award show. And you're just like, okay, sure, why not? Which is amazing because you guys both miss each other. So you're excited. You finally get to see the man you're in love with. So you finally get to the award show. You finally see him. You hold him close and you exchange words of encouragement. And you're just, again, you're just so happy to just finally see and be with the man that you, like, truly love and miss this whole time. So it's really exciting. And he goes out and he's doing his show with you. So the Fukumuni show, and you guys are just chatting and you guys are making some really good, you know, feedback with the crowd. And eventually, like, you guys, they actually win the show, which is amazing. And even with all the fans and everything going on, he still takes the time to, like, wave at you when he's on the stage, which I thought was absolutely adorable. Because could you imagine, like, falling in love with a celebrity and sitting there and all of a sudden they're just like, or giving you like a wave or something like that, like, yes please. So at this point everyone's like, okay, let's go celebrate at, you know, at Long Island, and let's go hang out and let's just kind of take some like, let's relax and everything. So of course Yuta's like, I'll meet you guys there. So everyone else heads over to the bar. And when you finally start to think, like, hey, maybe he's not going to show up because it's been quite a while, he finally opens the door and everyone celebrates. And then finally, Yuta, when you guys get a second to kind of, like, talk, he pulls out a box out of nowhere and he's like, hey, I've been meaning to give this to you. And you're just like, what's in the box? What's in the box? Right? So you grab the box, you look, you know, and look into it, and it's a freaking ring. It's a freaking engagement ring. Like, oh, I was not expecting the ending of marriage. Like, I didn't think that he was going to propose to you, like, right away, but he's like, I just can't not be with you. But again, like, I guess what I'm most confused about is the whole purpose of, like, how this all started was that he wasn't allowed to be with anybody because he was becoming an up-and-coming star. And technically, he still is. Yet now he's, like, get engaged to you, yet I don't know. I mean, it's a great happy ending, but his story in general, just, it made no sense to me. It was not the strongest of stories, in my opinion, but he was a great character. I really liked him. He just, it made no sense to me, so. But that was the story of Yuta. So now we're going to go out and transition on to the last story of this, you know, of the game, and so we're going to kind of close the chapter after this and move on to the next game, but I'm going to be talking about the very best one in the game, and his name is Yamato, which, I mean, that's pretty simple to remember. So, once you play through him, I promise you that you will understand why he is considered the main love interest. You have an instant chemistry with him, and I'm honestly mean, like, an instant chemistry. And honestly, he's like the only storyline where I feel like he actually needed to be married, because it was like his storyline where you would actually, I feel like you would need to be married in the benefit of him. So before you move into his apartment, he kind of explains to you why he needs to be married and why he needs to, like, you know, where this needs to go. And he tells you that he's a teacher at an elite all-girls school. And one of the criteria for men is that because it's an all-girls school, they do have to be married. Now, I obviously think that this is because they feel like if teachers are married, they're going to be less likely to cheat on their wives with a student. But, I mean, it's not official, but, I mean, I think we can all agree that that's pretty much what that is. So, you being a sweetheart, you're like, sure, I'm going to help you. I'll marry you and you know, pretend to be your fake wife. And so during this time as a fake couple, pretty early on, his creepy, I mean, I'm very creepy vice principal of the school. He sees you two and he's like, for some reason, instantly suspicious that you guys are not a couple. So he's just like asking you guys all these questions. He's like really investigating your guys' body language and how you guys are interacting with each other and talking. And it's just like, dude, what? Like, get a freaking life. Like, you're going to go up to this person and be like, so are you actually married? How dare you? Like, what? Okay. I guess that's the new thing. Like, so next time you see someone who's married, just be like, but are you really? Are you really married? Like, so I guess this is just like a thing. So you're just going to have to question if people are married or not to get their true intentions, which I don't really get, but I guess it just like adds suspense to the story of like this creepy vice principal. So you finish your interactions with him and you go back to your apartment, and soon the creepy vice principal comes back, but now he's at your apartment and he's like, he rings the doorbell, and you know, you and Yamato already had your little flirting bit, and now he's in the shower. So you answer the intercom and he's like, hey, I brought pickles. What? Okay. These storylines are wild. So you're like, okay, cool. Thanks for the pickles. So you invite him up to your apartment because you're like, I feel like if I don't invite him, he's going to be even more suspicious. You're just like, sure, come on up. And instantly he's like, where's Yamato? And he's asking you all of these questions. And you're, again, why? Like, why? Like, okay, why? I'm so sorry if like I just, why? So he starts asking you questions and everything like this. You're starting to get really flustered because you feel like you're starting to like question what you were saying. And then finally Yamato comes out of the bathroom. And of course he only has a towel on. And I'm like, okay, how is that? Like, if I saw that, I'd be like, that's a newlywed, especially in this kind of culture, because like that's not something you do on a day-to-day basis. And still, he's just kind of like, you know, what's that Roomba over there? Now, I wasn't going to mention it because it doesn't really have a lot to do with the story, but it's kind of funny. So he loves appliances. Like, that's like the thing about him. And he has a Roomba, which if you guys aren't sure what a Roomba is, it's those things like the vacuums that, if you guys hear a noise in the background, it's my cat, Binks. He's a butthole. But a Roomba is like those vacuum things that go on the floor, like wirelessly, that vacuum so you don't have to. They're great. I love them. I want one myself, but I don't have one. So if I do, I'll let you guys know how it is. Now, back to the main story. You know, so at this point, he's trying to get the VP to leave the apartment. So he's like, okay, let's try to make him uncomfortable. So you guys both go into the bathroom and he's like, hey, let's take a bath together and let's do something together. And you're like, no, we can't. There's somebody here. You know, even though I want to. Obviously, the dude gets the point. GTFO, VP. GTFO. Okay, like, we don't want you here. You're creepy. Thanks for the pickles, but you can go. He gets the hint and he finally leaves. So the next day, Yamato wants you to bring his phone to school. Because he's like, hey, you know what? If you bring my phone, it's going to show to the VP, like, that you're my wife, because a wife would do something like this. And, you know, maybe we can try to like get some kisses in and really just kind of show him just how happy and in love we are and how newlywed we are. So you're like, okay, cool. So you wait for him to go to school, and around lunchtime, you leave your house. You can go bring him the phone, and you run into this guy who is wearing a suit and his bike broke and he needed somebody to fix his bike chain. So you're like, hey, I can help you. You know, I used to ride bikes all the time in the countryside. And so you help him and he's like, oh, let me help you back. You're like, no, I'm in a rush. I gotta go. So you run over to the school. You're not knowing who this guy is. You just helped him with his bike. Obviously, if you play visual novels, you know that most people you meet and have interactions with have like a reasoning at some point. So you finally get to the school, and at the school, you see that Yamato is just covered, you know, with a bunch of girls who are all around him trying to get his attention, trying to hold on to him. And he's just like, dude, leave me alone. Like, your girl hormones are crazy right now. You know, so you're like, oh, how cute. My fake husband's getting attacked by girls. And finally he calls you out and he runs over to you. And in the process, you see this girl. Eventually you learn that her name is it Onodera? Onodera. But she is there just mad dogging you the whole time. And it seems like she's probably like the pretty girl at school, because she's the only one that like it shows. So you don't know. But she's not a big fan of you. So she's like super mad dogging you the whole time. But you pay no attention to it at this point, because Mr. Hot Stuff, Yamato, is looking at you. And he's like, thanks for my phone, sweetheart. And he introduces you as his wife. And all the girls are obviously sad that they realized he's married, even though they should all know that that's regulation. But whatever. So he takes you towards the back, like over where the vice president, I keep saying vice president, where the vice principal is. And he's starting to get extra lovey-dovey with you. He's trying to get his attention so that way he kind of understands like, okay, yes, these people are married. Maybe I should back off them. And it works. So that's great. And you can't blame that other girl for like mad-dogging the teacher either. Because if you had a hot teacher and then his wife came, you'd be like, how dare that wife touch the hot teacher? How dare? So eventually your days, you know, they continue to pass with Yamato. And when you get to learn more about him, he starts to like really open up to you. He starts opening up to you about like his mom and his feelings. And he starts to get a little bit more blunt with you. But his bluntness, I feel like, is such a good quality, because a lot of times like people just don't tell you how things are, especially in visual novel games. Like guys, I just feel like they just never tell you like what they're thinking or what they want. And it's so annoying. So it's kind of like, it's like a breath of fresh air to just have someone who's a little bit more blunt with you, and it's just like, yes, no, nope, mm-mm, and like likes things certain ways and whatnot. So I like that. He was, like I said, he was my favorite. But anyways, I keep getting off track. So eventually you decide to visit your uncle and catch up with him because you haven't seen him in a while. And he offers to read your fortune because, you know, you kind of just been telling him everything that's going on and how this, you know, this one girl is just kind of like getting in your way of Yamato and like how kind of you're getting a little suspicious and everything like that, because obviously jealousy is taking over. So if you guys didn't listen to the first episode, your uncle is a fortune teller and, you know, he's able to kind of get an idea as to what you have expecting because he does everything. So he reads your fortune. He's like, ooh, there's a big storm coming, you know, and that's never good news. So she's like, okay, well, what is it? He's like, I don't freaking know. I just see if there's a storm coming. So be prepared, get an umbrella and hope for the best. So fate, not wasting any time, starts to make it storm almost instantly. Yamato before had got a phone call to help him with one of the Skrull girls who got groped. Now, I'm pretty sure it doesn't take a genius to get like to understand who it was that got groped, because who else would it be, right? So I also don't understand why they would send like the hottest teacher alone to help a schoolgirl who got groped after hours. That makes no sense to me. Like, you would think they would send one of like the female teachers or like maybe not as an attractive of a teacher, but that's just me. So the girl that he, you know, helped was, of course, the girl from earlier, which is the Onodera. And she was giving you the stank face earlier. So obviously she's just not good news. So you get to your apartment, you're kind of doing your thing and you get a phone call. And you're like, okay, it's not Yamato, because if it was him, he would have called me on my cell phone. So what's going on? So you call it with hesitation. And who do you think it is? And who do you think that guy was? Okay, so it was Onodera. And she was like, I know about your relationship. I know that your relationship is a lie. I'm with Yamato. I'm the one that he wants. We, you know, you're just in our way. You know, if you look at his back, you'll see that he has a mole on the right side of his lower back, you know, and I know that because we've been together. And it's just like, okay, what? But of course you're like, have you guys been together? Because clearly like this is kind of weird. So Yamato finally gets home later on, and typically, I mean, I would have said something if it were me in my relationship. I would have been like, hey, just so you know, this chick's calling saying that, like, you're with her. Like, what's the story? But that's just me. So instead of doing that, you wait till he goes to the room and changes his shirt, and you follow him and see that when he does take off his shirt, you know, he indeed has the mole where she said it was going to be. At this point, you're pretty upset. You know, you're not too happy with what's going on because you're starting to realize, okay, maybe he is with this other student. Even with this news, you continue to spend some time with Yamato, and you're really trying to just hide like your feelings with him, because like there's times where you're like, yep, I love him, but then there's times you're like, do I, like, you know, he's just joking around, and it's like, no, girl, you love him. Just give in to it. Like, be happy. But of course, would it be that good of a game if she did it instantly? No. So as you continue hiding your love with him and you're still trying to like fight it within yourself, you go back to your uncle's, you know, you go back to Long Island, so your uncle's bar, and all the friends are there, and you're like asking them for advice, and they agree that Yamato would never date a student. They're like, look, he's our best friend. He would never do this. Like, there's a misunderstanding in all of this. And so finally, you're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to get the chance to talk to Yamato, and, you know, I'm going to tell him about the call, and I'm going to see if he's going to, like, honestly tell me the truth if he's dating this student or not. And that's exactly what happens. But before you even get the chance to talk, he pulls you aside, and this is probably, like, one of my favorite parts, because this was, like, where his bluntness really comes in handy. And he was just like, I am a professional. I would never date a student. You know, I would never even look at a student. She's a great, you know, she's great at her academics. She's great at this, but, you know, that's all that it is. It's like strictly a student-teacher relationship. And like, it was just kind of one of those things where like, you knew that him talking to you, like, you're like, yep, he's telling the complete truth, because why would he lie? And so at this point, you start to really like, I guess, open up a little bit more with him. And he also starts to really open up more with you. Now, beforehand, he was getting a little bit more intimate with you in the sense of like joking around, you know, opening up and all that stuff. But this time he's like, you know what? I think it's about time I tell you why I decided to go to that school and like why I'm adamant about going to an all-girls elite school. Because obviously it's kind of weird. Like, why does a young, attractive, hot teacher want to do that? So he takes you to his favorite place, which is the park where him and his friends play baseball. And he's like, you know what? My dad left my mom when I wasn't even born yet. And, you know, before my mom passed away, she told me my dad died. But after my mom passed, like, I found out that my dad was still alive and that he's a principal at the girls' school that I'm working at right now. Remember that guy from earlier? Keep that in mind. So he opens up to you about how he wanted to get to know his dad and how he kind of wanted to get back at his dad with showing like how good of a man he's become. And like he's wanted to ask him questions as to like why he left him and his mom and just really get down to like why he was abandoned at such a young age and never knew who his dad was. So he really wanted to like open up to you and like he really starts to like trust you. And at this point, you know, I personally am like, okay, he's falling in love with me. Like he's at this point already falling in love with the character, especially because beforehand, I did forget to mention, but stupid Anadara came to the apartment, you know, and actually questioned you in person and was like, so, and started asking you, like, does he like dogs and all this stuff? And like, how long have you been together? And what's his favorite color and all this? And, you know, you almost tell her like, hey, just so you know, this is a fake. But then he comes and like professes his love to you and is like, I love her. I care for her. Like, get away from me. And so she finally gets the hint. She leaves. And then that's what gets us to now he's finally telling us what this all is after we've had to deal with this stupid Anadara chick the entire time. So, you know, thanks, Yamato. Anyways, getting ahead of myself, getting back at myself, now getting ahead of myself again, because that's just how I tell stories. Sorry about it ahead of time. So after he's opened up to you, you know, really take his like his feelings and his emotions and his story into consideration. And again, a few days pass. So you end up, you know, running into the older man with the suit quite a few times, and you still don't know who this guy is. You've just been talking and kind of like getting to know each other, and he slowly opens up to you. You slowly open up to him because you're both just like, you know how they say like sometimes talking to strangers is easier than talking to someone you've known forever? It's kind of the case in this with the both of them. And as you're talking to him, he, you know, he has like a bouquet of flowers and you're like, oh, what are the flowers for? And he explains to you about how he fell in love with a student, you know, like a few decades back, and the student was about to graduate, but then she got pregnant and she was obviously quite pregnant at this point when he found out. And in order for her to protect him, because if it came out that that was his child, obviously it would have come out that they were together before her being a student was over, which obviously is against the law, and he would have gotten a lot of trouble for it, and it would have, you know, essentially ruined his life. Even though they were each other's love of their lives, you know, she made the hard decision of stepping back and kind of just ghosting him with his child that, you know, that he never got to meet, because, you know, even though she was trying to protect him, she also took away the one thing that he wanted the most. And it was honestly like, it's such a sad story, but like, I understand where they're both coming from. And he is telling you about how he goes to their meeting spot every Saturday, because that was their thing, is every Saturday they would go in like to the park on top of the hill before the sunset. Like, that was their meeting spot. So every Saturday this man would go there in the hopes that he would see the love of his life again, because he's like, you know, if she ever looked for me, this is where she would go. And like, how sad. And I think the saddest part about that, too, is you learn when Yamato is kind of explaining to you, like, about his mom and his life and, you know, the tragedy of his dad and everything like that. He tells you that his mom died 2 years earlier. And so that's just, like, where my heart breaks because, like, this guy, for the last few decades, has been going to the same spot every day to try to, like, to reunite with the love of his life and his child when she's now gone. Like, he's never going to see her again. And, you know, thank God, eventually, you know, he'll find out what happened. But until then, it's sad, you know? And so he tells you this, and this is when Yamato sees the guy, and he's mad. So he pulls you away, and he's like, we got to go, principal, and he leaves. At this point, he tells you, like, hey, just so you know, that's my principal that you were talking to. And she's like, oh, my God, so that's your dad? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, holy crap, like, you know, and this is when Yamato, like, he's like, we need to go to Long Island. Like, let's just go to Long Island. We'll figure things out. Like, we'll take it slow. So she's like, okay, whatever. So they go there. They get some drinks. All of his friends are there. And he's just extremely upset. So he's, you know, he's making up lies about the mom, saying, like, you know, what he told you was that the dad left and that the dad never cared. The dad never loved him. The dad never loved her. And it kind of breaks your heart because at this point, you know that this man in the suit is actually his dad. And the story is about him. And so, like, your heart just kind of hurts because you're like, he's suffering so much, but for no, like, he doesn't need to be. And so eventually, you know, next Saturday passes because you're like, I'm not going to say anything just yet. I'm going to let it play out. But, you know, eventually you kind of tell him he doesn't believe you. So next Saturday passes and you're like, hey, let's go on a date. So, of course, where do you take him? You take him to the park. On a Saturday, up the hill before the sunset, because you know that lo and behold, his dad's gonna show up like he always does every Saturday with her favorite flowers. And this Saturday was no different. So the dad shows up, and at this point, Yamato understands what you did. He's like, why did you bring me here? And then this is when they both explain to him the story of what actually happened. And like, at this point, like, you see, like, such a beautiful reconnection of Yamato and his dad, and it was, like, a beautiful part, but, like, for some reason, your character, and it kind of pissed me off in the game, because your character was so, like, selfish at this fucking point, excuse my French, but, like, she was so selfish, because your character at this point is, like, all she's caring about is, okay, well, you know, I guess this is it. Like, I guess we're not going to be together anymore. I guess I should just get out of the picture, which, again, Yamato, like, he expressed his love to you every freaking day since the day that he expressed it to you when Onodera was there, including, like, a hot makeout sesh. Hot. I'm telling you, hot makeout sesh. So why you think this guy doesn't care about you makes no sense to me. But, you know, he catches up to you and he's like, hey, what were you doing? You're like, I'm sorry. Like, I was just trying to give you some space. And he's like, no, I want to, you know, I want to go, like, I want to be with you. So just like always, a few days pass and you're back at, you know, you're back at the house and you're relaxing and, you know, you notice, like, Yamato's happy now. You got the man of your dreams and all this stuff. And this is when, like, you're sitting there and, again, another hot makeout sesh. And he proposes to you. And he's like, you know, I was alone my whole life. And, you know, I've been alone forever. And you've helped me in so many ways. And at this point, like, I never want to live my life without you. Like, I've officially know what I want in my life. And I want you. So he proposes to you. And you guys finally truly are, like, almost husband and wife. And, you know, his story is the reason why I love visual novels, because he had such great character development in all of it. And, like, I love when they're kind of standoffish and when they're kind of, like, when they have that hard shell that you just keep cracking through, and then finally it's like they understand that it's okay to be loved. Like, it's okay to take advice. It's okay to, like, hear what other people watch. Like, I love that. And, you know, honestly, if you don't, If you don't play the other like playthroughs, although I do recommend Sake, but if you decide not to, I mean, Yamato himself was just such a great playthrough. He was great. And the stories afterwards are even better because they're so much more interactive when it comes to your guys' relationship. And, you know, it's obviously more hot and sexy, which is, you know, always a plus. I'm really glad that I was able to kind of dive deep. And I hope, even though that these episodes are going to be longer, you know, I do hope that you guys enjoy this better. I hope you guys enjoy me kind of going more in depth of how the actual story goes instead of just explaining it to you like in a gist of everything and making it shorter. So if you guys can kind of tell me, like, is this what you guys like, or would you prefer me to do shorter episodes that aren't as detailed into what the actual story is? Like, please let me know, because like I said, I'm kind of trying different things to see what works best for all of us. But that is going to do it for us, guys. So before we wrap this up, please make sure that you're following me on Instagram for any updates or random posts by me, or even my Facebook. But if you guys do, it's just LVLDWNJESS. So Level Down Jess, you can follow me at either or. That's where you can send me recommendations, because I do love getting recommendations for any visual novels that you'd like for me to cover. Or if you just want to talk to me, you know, I do enjoy kind of interacting with all of you guys. So please make sure you're following me on one of those. And because again, I love hearing from you guys. Also, please make sure that you continue listening if you would like to hear my three favorite tracks from the game. Now, this time it is going to be different because there is only like three tracks for this game than I played it the first time. But I figured since it's closer to Halloween this time, I'm going to do more of a like spookier visual novel track. So if you want to hear more Halloween festive tracks for you guys that are visual novel based, please continue to listen. But until next time, remember to keep the romance alive.
You're listening to Shivers from Deathmark, composed by Naoki Jumbo. You are listening to Gothic Horror from Diabolic Lovers, composed by Yuki Hayashi. You're listening to Strength of the Heart from Corpse Party, composed by Mal Hamamoto.